It's time for the Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Hour number 3 of the Drive underway. It's quitting time on your Wednesday, 5 o'clock. Russell Smith and Bear back with you here. We're live today at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. It's the 9th annual OEB Law Turkey Drop. We need to get some more turkeys out here. We'll do that if you're just getting off work. Feel free to stop by. We're going to get a few more frozen turkeys out here. Our friends at OEB Law hooked it up this year, and we got a bunch of them back there in the freezer. We'll go and get them out for you. As you get off work, you're in West Knoxville, swing on by. We'd love to give you the bird here at Smoky Mountain Brewery. Big Jake, Jake Lesta, back in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios with the Top 5 at 5, which are brought to you this afternoon by WaveTech Medical. Jake?
Number one, Tennessee basketball plays at home tonight with the Vols hosting Alabama State, which I told you guys wrong earlier. Normal Alabama is home to Alabama A&M. Alabama State is from Montgomery. But this game is at 7, and it streams on SEC Network+. Plus, the Vols are 30-point favorites.
30-point favorites? I don't know. I mean, when was the last time we beat anybody by 30? I think Rick will probably call off the dogs if it gets to that point, right? The
last time we beat somebody by 30. Did we do it last year?
We beat Georgia 96-50 last year.
How could I forget that?
We need to rewatch that.
It just seems like, I don't know, maybe we will beat them by 30. I don't know anything about Alabama State, but.
You think if Barnes could, he'd put it on Penny? You think he'd run it up to 30?
No, I just don't think he's a run it up guy. Like I can't remember the
game we beat them by 46.
But I can't remember that game though. I don't remember the. It seemed. I almost feel like we were so good that maybe they just couldn't stop us. I don't remember nothing about that game. Isn't that weird? How college basketball from year to year, you just don't remember individual games.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Number two, Jimmy Johnson is the latest NASCAR superstar to climb out of his car, with the 7-time champion announcing today that 2020 will be his final season of full-time racing. The winningest driver of his era will have a 19th season in the number 48 Chevrolet and once again chase a record 8th championship, and Johnson made the announcement earlier in a video on Twitter.
This just made 44 seem kind of young. I mean, he's in shape, and I thought. And those guys back in the day, like the if you were a great driver, and I think we would all, just from his record, he's a great driver.
He's one of the best there ever.
It seems like those guys usually race into their 50s.
Yeah, but I think now the problem is that they've screwed with the car so much. Those guys are the dirty little secret about Carl Edwards. I mean, they did the screw job on him down in Miami, and he never ran another race. They called a Phantom Yellow. Got the field all bunched up, and then he got wrecked out, and he would have won the cup. But yeah, I mean, I don't. You imagine the grind on that week in and week out.
Oh man, and that season is so long. They've got like
being on a bus. I mean, they're like, you know, just that lifestyle.
He's probably over it. He's made a ton of money.
Yeah,
his best years are behind him. He's not winning championships anymore. It's like
He's, driving for 8 next year though.
Drive for 8.
His 8th championship. He's going to try it. Next year's his last year, right?
How many in a row did he win? It was like
3 or 4.
I thought it was more than that.
I think it was 6.
Was it 6? They changed the rules.
Was he really that great, or was it really just he had Chad Knaus and Hendrick Motorsports? He's just in a rocket ship.
I mean, that's part of it, but you still have to.
Still got
to
drive it.
Yeah. And. Brian. I met Brian Vickers one time, and I asked him, you know, what's the difference between the guys that finish first and the field fillers? And he said the guys that win week in and week out are the ones that they don't care. They'll mash it all the way to the floor and just turn the wheel and hope it goes. I don't know. End of an era, though.
Yep.
They've lost a lot of talent.
He won 5 in a row. Number 3. The New York Jets running back Le'Veon Bell ripped the NFL for its drug testing policy, implying on Twitter that he's being unfairly targeted, saying, quote, I done had 5 random HGH blood tests in 10 weeks at NFL. I'm not doing another after today. Whatever y'all looking for, it obviously ain't there, and I'm not about to keep allowing y'all to stick me with those dirty bleep needles. Find the players who really do that HGH BS and get off me.
I mean, I can kind of see his point. How many times did you say, Jake? 5 in 10 weeks?
Yeah, 5 in 10 weeks. And blood tests, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'd get all, I'd be like, look, man, you ain't found something the first 5 times.
What, but hasn't he had, I mean, what was he suspended for back in the day?
Oh,
he was suspended
weed,
for just weed?
Marijuana, yes.
Which is a whole.
You went here for some weed?
That's just a whole, I'm not going to get on my soapbox today.
Well, I mean, like. I hate
it for that, but they
dispense. I hate it for them, but dude, you're playing in the NFL, you're in the drug program or whatever. It's like you're gonna get singled out. Like, sorry, you shouldn't have prioritized smoking dope over your job.
You don't have a problem at all with the fact that they, like,
if you have nothing to hide, you don't have anything to worry about.
Grossly overprescribe and overmedicate with some of the most high-powered opiates known to man.
What does that have to do with what we're talking about?
I
mean, that
I want to raise a point that they leave, you know, nobody ever says anything about the fact that they overprescribe.
Sure they do.
Oxycontin.
Yeah, we do. I mean, we've been talking about it since Brett Favre was hooked on that stuff. Yeah, I mean,
they still get them.
I don't think they get them like they used to, but I'm sure it's still a problem. But for Le'Veon Bell, it's like
they used to.
What do you mean?
You serious?
I don't know.
You didn't read that story on the Atlanta Falcons last year? How many doses they prescribed in one calendar year to the team?
Well, I mean, that stuff has a practical use. I mean, it's much better than just being in pain. The thing is, that Brett Favre had was like he would just go in there and just take what he wanted. Like, they just had jars of those pills, and of course he got hooked on them. And I think, like, I would hope that they are doing a better job of controlling those substances now. What does that have to do with Le'Veon Bell being mad about being singled out for drug testing?
Because I think he's trying to draw attention. Sometimes I've heard him speak on a lot of players speak on the hypocrisy of the whole testing thing. You know.
So now we don't want to test for performance enhancing drugs in the NFL.
Well, I mean, they're just kind of willy-nilly about it. I mean, it's kind of like the whole baseball thing. Remember when baseball just about committed Harry Caray when they went on strike and there wasn't the World Series that one year in the early 90s?
94.
And then they came back and turned a blind eye and, you know, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and Sammy Sosa all gained like 40 pounds of muscle mass.
I don't think anybody has any moral objection to performance-enhancing drugs in and of itself. The issue has always been a level playing field and the pressure that people feel to use that stuff, which, like anything else, can be dangerously abused. People just want to know that they're watching a game, that it's not professional wrestling, that the fix isn't in, that it's
a
level playing field.
Fix it in, but I would say that, I mean, what percentage of NFL players do you think probably juice or take HGH?
I have no idea.
Would it shock you if it was 90? It's not normal. There's nothing normal about a 340-pound man being able to, number one, wear like size 36 waist pants and then run like a gazelle. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, no. I mean, we're talking about people who are in, you know, the 0.1% of athletes in the world. There's nothing normal about it.
I don't know. I mean, I kind of get his point, man. That's a little extreme. Every other week you're coming to me for blood.
Jake?
Number
is that it?
No, we're just on number 4 now.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Number 4, Axios political reporter Alexi McCammons said via Twitter that Charles Barkley threatened her when she asked about the Hall of Fame former player about the 2020 presidential race. According to McCammond, Barkley responded, "I don't hit women, but if I did, I would hit you," when she asked about his political support. According to the reporter, Barkley said she couldn't take a joke, and although an off-the-record conversation, she said she made it public because, quote, "this is not okay."
Yeah, but since that time, they've dug, because this is where we're at these days. They've apparently dug deep in her Twitter background.
Oh, we're going to cancel her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's in the process of being canceled.
Big hypocrite.
I was reading about it on the break.
What's in her background?
I want to say like some...
Just making jokes about
racially
them.
Insensitive
ooh,
tweets.
Ooh. Well, play with fire, get burned.
Yeah.
I mean, like if she were actually afraid that Charles Barkley were going to hit her,
right?
Then by all means, throw that out there, and we'll shame him and everything. But I mean, like
Barkley ain't hitting a girl.
Hey, Charles Barkley like spit on a girl. He threw a dude through a plate glass window. Yeah, man.
Really? I thought that was that guy from Florida back in the day that did that.
No, Barkley did it too, like back in the 80s or 90s. I mean, it's been a long time ago. But Charles
really?
Barkley, yes, he was totally out of control.
You remember the Florida kid that did it? They'd recruited him from, I think, either the DR. It was some Caribbean country or Puerto Rico or somewhere. And he got up here and he was...
Here in Knoxville?
No, he did it down in Florida. He got to Florida and I want to say it was like Captain D's or something. And some guy started some beef with him, and he basically grabbed the guy and threw him through a plate glass window. Incredibly dangerous, Russ. Were you aware of that?
I mean, I've never really sat and thought about it, but it stands to reason that, like, if I took you and just shoved you through that glass window over there,
you wouldn't be able to do that.
I think it would be. I don't think it would go well for you. I think you'd be.
I don't think there's anybody at Fanrin you could do that to.
I think you'd be cut up. I think you'd be like Dubs. Why'd you shove me through that window? Could you please call the ambulance? I think I might be dying. Yeah, I think that's very dangerous. Jake?
Number 5. A team manager for the South Carolina football team has lost his job after allegedly fighting a man dressed up as a fired Will Muschamp on Halloween. Per the Post and Courier, Aubrey Walker was let go following his arrest Halloween night on charges of public disorderly conduct in a crosswalk in an entertainment district. Walker was allegedly upset with the costume of the man he fought. The man was dressed in Muschamp's game day attire, wearing all black clothing with a headset and eyeglasses. He was holding a giant check in the amount of $18 million with buyout written in the memo space. It is made out to Will Muschamp and signed by, quote, every Gamecock fan.
Now, where was he doing this? Where was he dressed up like this?
I'm assuming in Columbia. It says he was arrested in a crosswalk.
That's hilarious.
Did we not talk about this yesterday? I saw it after our show yesterday. I thought I mentioned it to you.
And some South Carolina staffer beat him up.
Yeah, I felt like that guy just endeared himself to Muschamp for life. I mean,
yeah,
Muschamp's got to admire that.
I guess it's
the rage.
Well, I guess it's good for the Gamecocks that, you know, there's still some fight in them.
Breaking news. Take it to the desk.
All right, let's head to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk here live at Smoky Mountain Brewery.
This just came down from the official Twitter account inside the NCAA. Memphis's James Wiseman cleared to compete on January 12th.
So we're going to be he'll miss our game?
Yeah. Here's the statement. James Wiseman, a freshman on the University of Memphis men's basketball team, must sit 11 additional games, 12 total, based on recruiting inducements his family received before he enrolled at Memphis and for competing in 3 games while ineligible. I knew that would come back to bite them. Like, we wondered about that. Like, if they'd gone ahead and sat him and quietly went about the appeals process, I'd be willing to bet he'd be playing by Tennessee. I mean, they say it right there. Before he enrolled at Memphis and for competing in 3 games while in eligible.
Do they have to forfeit those games?
Yeah, I'm sure they will. Our guy, friend of the show, Aaron Torres, had just tweeted out, Aaron's disappointed. The suspension is quite that long, and we'll definitely this is a good tweet. Aaron raises a point that he's going to be curious to see what Penny Hardaway has to say the next time he's in front of a microphone. Me too, Aaron.
He also must donate $11,500 to a charity of his choice.
How's a freshman in college got $11,500 to go donate in a charity? I mean, I guess he could take it off.
It would be nice if he could take a loan against future earnings, but, oh, yeah, that's an NCAA violation.
Wow. That seems vindictive. First game will be South Florida, January 12th.
And he misses the game next month in Thompson Bowling.
Wait, what is that? It's like, what, 4 weeks away now?
Yep.
Wow. I'm disappointed, man. I want to beat them with him on the floor. I want to dare France to stuff him.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it just because we're we'll probably win the game now, and then we get to listen to them whine for forever because he'll be one and done. He's not going to be there next.
Oh, we would have beaten you if you had had James Wiseman.
We'll never know. Shouldn't have played him. Shouldn't have thumbed your nose at the NCAA like that.
Wow.
If they hadn't done that, if they hadn't sued and played him for those two games.
He's probably playing by the time they come here for Tennessee.
Yeah, they'd like go ahead and, what, give him a 6 or 7 game suspension.
Yeah. Probably let him come back for the UT game. Might have been his first game back. That kid's a freak, isn't he? Is he really that tall? 7'2"?
Wiseman?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I was watching some of the highlights in one of the games that he played, and he didn't look that long to me.
He's built. He looks like a big old, I mean, for 18.
He's listed at 7'2"?
That's what I thought. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought he was a 7-footer. 7'1".
Wow. He did
according
not.
To Sports Illustrated.
Didn't look that big to me, but
I bet he would compared to our
somewhere
bigs.
John Fulkerson breathing a sigh of relief this afternoon.
Is that who we're going to have check him?
I mean, I guess so. Like, he's our big guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I reckon.
I don't think we're going to throw Zach Kent Cook out there against the future number one overall pick.
Is there any word about when we're supposed to hear about Juras Plasevich, his last appeal?
No. I mean, there wasn't a timetable for the first go-around, so why would the second go-around be any different, you know?
This is just a silly – I don't know. He sat out too. See, he's not even really played college basketball yet, has he? Plasevich?
No.
I don't understand why he has to sit out this year.
Let's break it down real quick. It's The Drive live this afternoon. Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. $6 burger day. Turkey drop. Got to go get some more birds up here, man. I think we got some more folks coming in for the bird. Stay with us. It's The Drive. 865-546-8200. If you want to chime in on the show today, 546-8200. We'll take a quick break. Back with more right after this.
Enough of The Drive? I didn't think so. Welcome back.
Welcome back into The Drive. This is Bear. Russell is off taking care of some turkey business right now. So I'm going to hang out with you for a couple of minutes until Russell comes in and saves me. Jake Lester, there at home base.
Yeah, I'm here, Bear. What's up?
Not much. What? Well, here comes Russell with a big tray full of turkeys again. Got to meet the caller Marcus just now. Super nice guy.
Great caller.
Yeah. I think that's what I don't know about Russ, but I really like about this whole deal is it, not only do we get to have fun giving away turkeys at Thanksgiving, but just getting to meet the callers and putting faces with names. It's just fun. It's a lot of fun.
Seems like a great event out there, and I'm sure a great turnout as well.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had a really good turnout today. I mean, they're just going and going and going.
Y'all are the turkeys just flying off the shelves?
Absolutely. You back with us, Russell?
You piloting the ship here, Bear?
Yeah, kind of like when
is it like when Wayne's World when Wayne didn't show up for Wayne's World and Garth was He had to do it himself.
More like did you ever watch Airplane, the movie?
Oh, yeah.
When they got Ted Stryker up in the cockpit. And you start sweating bullets.
Yeah. Are you nervous?
No, are you over Mucho Grande?
Mucho Grande.
That's the line. That's one of the lines. I think
I remember that. It's been a long time since I've seen that.
Nobody's ever over Mucho Grande.
Well, we still got plenty of turkey. I was back there. We got a lot of turkeys left, man.
Get down here and get you one.
I think we've given away probably close to 100, but we've got a lot, and we're going to – they wanted to – OEB Law wanted to make sure that we had plenty of leftover to take down to the Love Kitchen. So we got plenty to give away, man, and it's just something – way to say thank you to our audience and OEB Twitter and Facebook followers and stuff. And so we've given a lot away, man, and we're going to give plenty to the folks over the Love Kitchen for those in need. They're obviously going to put them to good use over Thanksgiving and Christmas. So just a pretty cool deal, man. We appreciate OEB Law for stepping up and sponsoring the Turkey Drop this year, and invite folks to go check them out online at reckontoacheck.com. And it has been another successful Turkey Drop. We've still got about half an hour left here of the show. By the way, no overtime tonight. If you're if you want to do some local sports radio with your fan-run friends, you got to do it now, because we're going Fox National at 6. I don't know. I was just told there's no overtime tonight. The game is going to end in regulation today here on Fan Run.
That's disappointing. What am I going to do from 6 to 8 now?
I don't know, man. Let's whatever. What do we have? It's that dude from the Black Crowes, right, who does the show? Gorman?
No, not Steve Gorman.
He's on from 6 to 8.
Is it Steve Gorman?
Yeah.
Gorman?
Yeah, out of Nashville.
I think he came out with a book recently, or he's been talking more about
maybe
Black Crowes, telling Black Crowes stories, which they are back together, by the way. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, I saw them playing live on Howard Stern.
Somebody did a ranking. I think Rolling Stone did. With, you know, bands that aren't together right now, putting odds on whether or not they would. I was quite happy to see Rolling Stone has put it at 75% certain that my boys, Liam and Noel, will play again together.
95%?
75.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it easier when they're blood, I guess.
I don't think so. I think you know that deal where
makes it harder?
Where I'm like the rare time that I'll apologize to you when I'm trying to get you to, you know.
When you apologize to me.
When I've apologized.
Apologize?
And then you aren't quite ready to accept the apology, and you want me to jump through some hoops.
When have you ever apologized to me?
I'm sorry.
And then I get mad all over again?
I'm sorry.
I'm racking my brain. I can't remember a single apology that you've ever given to me or anybody else.
I've apologized for embarrassing you before. I've apologized to you twice since I've been here today. Once for accidentally pulling your mic down. And I
can't. That's not those small little apologies. The big things that the big things that you've messed up over the years.
Like what? Name me one thing I've screwed up.
No. We don't need to do that right here on stage at Smoky Mountain Brew. We don't need to.
Name me one thing that I've screwed up that badly.
I mean, the red button incident comes to mind immediately. Discharging a firearm in the Fan Run studios.
I still left a loaded gun laying around.
Okay, good point. But still, you pulled the trigger, and that could have been a really bad situation.
Who thinks there's going to be a loaded rifle at a studio? I didn't know that.
We got to get Trey's report here.
Is practice over yet?
I don't know.
I mean, is he called Jake?
I don't know. Jake, have we heard from Trey Wallace? Was it Trey after
has
yesterday's?
Yet to be heard from.
After yesterday's fiasco, the practice report that wasn't, the Rocky Top report that wasn't, you know, the Kregner Group, it's real estate the right way. That was practice report the wrong way yesterday from Trey. I just hope he's not gun shy. Looks like they're getting off the practice field, because I am seeing some videos and stuff coming out of Twitter. Jesse Simonston, Volquez, says Garantano was taking the first reps again with the ones, out there. You think they're going to start him, or you think they'll trot out Maurer out there just for a little taste, just to keep the mojo going?
I have no idea.
The more I think about it, I just start Maurer. Start in the first series. Just say, look, man, we're going to keep this mojo going. We're giving you the first series. Just whatever you do, don't turn it over. Just don't – like, we might even just hand it off three times, and if we have to punt, we have to punt. But it's going to be a field possession defensive struggle anyway. We want to keep this mojo. JG obviously plays – I would just feel weird about him starting, man. I don't like it, man. Like, even if just
– why?
Well, here's the other thing we got to do. And I might just do this right out of the gates. Put the dog back there. He didn't do that at all against Kentucky, and maybe he was a little bit beat up, but I'm sure that off week did his body good. Like, I'd put Juwan Jennings back there and give him the start.
Oh, in the Wildcat?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
The Wild Dog.
I don't know if I'd be.
What do you mean?
That?
Wait, what has ever gone wrong out of that formation? Like, it might have been stuffed a time or two.
That is true.
And he did
that. I don't like wasting offensive possessions. And if you're going to start monkeying around, figure out who your quarterback is and start him. Come in with your game plan. Don't be cute. Being cute will get you – if you go in there and try and act cute, that's the way to lose this game. Make a mistake, waste series, offensive series. I mean, we saw that in our last game against Kentucky. You know, I mean, it snaps are at a premium. I can't – I don't know.
I mean, what if, you know, Maurer might go in there and light it up?
Yeah.
He wants to atone for his lackluster performance against Kentucky. I mean, it wasn't bad at Kentucky.
Really,
it was just
anything to atone for. I think he was still not
healthy.
Healthy. I don't know that some of these guys aren't going to be healthy till spring.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously Garantano's not. I mean, you realize how big of a baby I'd be if I had pins in my wrist? I mean, I wouldn't be coming into the drive. Like, I can't work the faders.
No, man.
Wrist.
I mean, look, man. Football, I love it. But if we're being honest, so stupid. So stupid. Guys out there
playing.
Guys out there playing with a broken hand. Tua's out there, like, on one leg. He gets his hip broke. Dudes are just bashing each other in the head. I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. It's absolutely insane.
That makes me think. Anytime talking about this makes me think. Have you seen that post-surgery picture of Jonathan Heffney?
What? He oh had yeah. Oh, oh. His leg is just completely split open. It's all
down his back. I mean, it looks like they had to basically cut him in half to fix whatever he did to himself. It's a violent sport that we love. It's a gladiator sport. We're no better than the Romans. We want them to keep feeding the Christians to the lions.
You know, I mean, actually, you think about it. In some ways, the Romans were actually better because we're doing it to ourselves. It's like people-on-people violence.
Right.
At least with the Romans, I mean, granted, they're in there against their will, but so it's a wild lion. What are you going to do? Like, yeah, it's of course somebody's going to get their jugular torn out. Like, it, you know, see what I'm saying? No?
No. No, don't.
Well, why do we do it?
Because we're humans. It's blood sport.
It reminds me of the great Jerry Seinfeld bit where he's talking about the helmet. Like, the fact that a helmet exists says a lot about humans in general, right?
Yeah, we do stupid stuff.
It says that we're engaging in activity over and over again where we're cracking our skulls.
Right.
Do we stop
these
activities?
We make better helmets.
No, we just create a device that allows us to continue our skull cracking ways.
Yeah, pretty much.
Make a better helmet. And somewhere right now, there's some scientists like, make this helmet better, then we can hit each other's heads harder.
I mean, they work on it all the time to try and cut down on concussions.
Like,
the thing gets me, if they ever prove that those silly things they wear on their head in practice,
mm-hmm.
if that really does reduce the incidence of concussions.
What do they call that? The Guardian.
Yeah, then paint an orange tee on the side of it, paint it white with an orange tee on the side, make them wear it during games. If you're telling me it's safer for the kids when they're wearing those things, then why isn't everyone required to wear them? Kind of like the Hans device in NASCAR when they figured out that Yeah, if you wear this thing, you won't end up like Dale Earnhardt with a completely severed spinal cord and be dead.
Kind of makes you think, doesn't it?
You know, the fact that they gave those guys a choice whether or not they had to wear it.
Citizens National Bank is the official bank of the drive. You can check them out online at cnbtn.com. It's Citizens National Bank. We appreciate their long-running support of the show. Go local. Bank from anywhere. Trust CNB's Go Mobile Banking app to let you safely and confidently bank right from your home or while you're on the go. Citizens National Bank, right here in your community, offering advanced security and convenience features that make mobile banking with CNB safe and easy. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll come right back, get some phone calls going. If you want to take a shot, jump in now. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. The drive continues live from Smoky Mountain Brewery. It's the Turkey Drop right here on Fan Run Radio.
Hides on Fox Sports Knoxville.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group, real estate the right way. Trey Wallace went to UT football practice. Let's try this again. Hopefully he's in a non-subterranean location. Garage. Trey, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Hey, we're doing well, man. Thanks for jumping in. You sound fantastic. What did you see at football practice today?
Yeah, thank you. It's a beautiful day on the practice field, and outside here in the complex, as fans start rolling in for the basketball game tonight here in about an hour and a half. But on the practice field today, it was quarterback-wise, we can start there. It was Jared Garantano starting. When we were leaving the field, Jared Garantano was working first quarterback up in the 11-on-11 drills. When they're running these mesh deals, with the running backs, you could tell they were putting a lot of time into Jared Garantano in his handoffs, and they were working extensively through that before they moved over to the on-air period. Brian Bauer was getting a good amount of reps, and JT Shrout, you know, that's definitely, he's the third-string quarterback now at Tennessee. He's still sporting that big brain. I got a nice shot picture of it, of his glove, and it's interesting to see how they'll handle that going into Saturday night, the cold environment, especially with him taking handoffs, or even if he ever has to go underneath center, which will be interesting to me. And then offensive line work, guys, Darnell Wright still hampered, man. Still hampered, working with the twos today. K'Ron Calvert was working with the ones. So was Wanye Morris. I think you're going to see the offensive line that we pretty much saw most of the Kentucky game. I think we're going to get that again against Missouri. I did see Jerome Carvin in there working with the ones as well at times in the offensive line work. So that part will be interesting, how they roll out an offensive line for Saturday. Defensively, Bryce Thompson, boys, still dealing, you know, with this knee injury. He was moving a little bit better today, but he's still sporting that huge knee brace. So he was kind of working gingerly with Jeremy Pruitt and Nigel Warrior and the others in the backfield, defensive backfield. So no videos of the defensive line work or linebackers today as they were scheming, and we were told not to video. So no videos of that coming out today, but Pruitt was getting in, work with the secondary, and everybody seems to look healthy besides maybe, you know, two or three players, so this could be a good thing, boys.
Yeah, it's. We were just talking, Trey, about the quarterback thing, and you know, I'm sure a lot's been made of it. I'm not sure that it really matters who takes the first reps there, but I mean, it'll be interesting to see, right? I mean, do they give Maurer a shot here at all, or do they just say, you know what, this is Jared Garantano's team, this is what we wanted to do all along anyway, and dating back to the offseason, and you know, is not at home, so we're not worried about booing or anything like that. We're just going to roll with JG from play one.
Russell, I just got this feeling, man, being out of practice a little bit ago, man, it just kind of feels like they're about to roll back out here with JG on Saturday as the starter. And look, I was talking to a couple colleagues, and you know this, Russell, they can play a couple mind tricks on you. You know, Brian Maurer doing this or that, or Brian Maurer gets in there you know, for a series or two to start the game. But this is the type of game, Russell, that Tennessee can't go up there and try to roll two series, don't get any kind of points, fall behind to Missouri, and maybe try to dig themselves out of, because Missouri has a quarterback that can actually throw the football. So I think that's one thing that Tennessee has to take into mind. They need to come out here and they need to be scoring, trying to score every single drive. If they feel like they're just doing this to do this, that needs to be over with. Like, just putting Brian Maurer out there and knowing you're going to yank him after two series or one series, or like what they were doing with JT Shrout, I think that needs to be put on the shelf. If you know who your starting quarterback is, roll with it. Jeremy Pruitt said in the SEC teleconference today that he did know who he was going to be starting at quarterback, and that they would announce it on Saturday. So I think the whole fun and games thing needs to be over. And if JG's healthy enough, you throw him out there, he takes the first rep of the game. If not, whatever. Just throw Juwan, let him take a wildcat, and then put Jared in there. So we'll see. Pruitt's about to speak to us here in about 5 minutes, so we'll see if he gives on anything. I highly doubt it, though.
All right, very good. Trey, anything else interesting, noteworthy from the practice field?
Nope, just saw Pawpaw out there, so I said, hey, for you guys, and he called me a girl. So that was kind of interesting. Didn't really understand that one.
He called you a what?
Well, we were walking up, and he just, you know, me and Austin Price and Evan, we were walking up, and Philip Farmer kind of gave us the, hey, girls, how you doing? I was like, huh, okay. Yeah. I wonder if I should pop one right back at him.
That's
a term of endearment. I do that to the overtime guys all the time.
But it's 2019. I find that highly offensive. Like, there's nothing.
There's nothing I like better than SJW Russell Smith.
I think that somebody needs to pull Coach Fulmer aside.
No, it was all fun and games. He was out there today watching along in his suit and tie. So it was business, Philip Fulmer today, and not I want to be back out there coaching offensive line, Philip Fulmer. So Tennessee wraps it up, man. They'll practice one more time tomorrow. They're wearing shells today. I think that's by design. They'll practice one more time tomorrow. It'll be more of a walkthrough type thing. And then they will hop on an airplane Friday, head to Missouri, and we got ourselves a ball game Saturday night, boys.
All right, thanks, Trey. Appreciate your time. That is Trey Wallace with the Rocky Top Report. And, of course, Tennessee basketball tonight returning to action against Alabama State. That game getting set to get underway here about an hour, 15 minutes inside Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. You can watch it on the SEC Network Plus.
This just in, Russell.
Yes.
From Gary Parrish, CBS Sports. Memphis has announced it will appeal James Wiseman's 12-game suspension.
Huh.
You know Penny wants him for that UT game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he wants him ASAP, but
I just don't think they're going to get him.
Yeah.
If they might have, so they really –
him like that, it blew up in their face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's one of those things, if you're going to do it, you got to be committed, man. Like when I was talking about Urosh, how we should just play him, like
– you got to be willing to go all the way.
Yeah, you don't turn back after a couple of games just chicken out.
No.
You either do it or you don't.
You die on that hill.
Exactly.
Like we do on stuff that we know is completely
absolutely
stupid.
And I don't see the NCAA walking this back at all, man. I could be wrong, but I think
teach them a lesson now.
Yeah, tough. All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Kregner Group. Ball's hoping to close out strong against Missouri and Vanderbilt. And just like in football, in real estate, you want to close strong when you're closing on your new house. But before you get to closing, you got to find the right home for you and your family. And to do that, you need someone in the real estate business, someone you can trust, someone like Bo Kregner at the Kregner Group. Bo knows real estate here inside and out. He knows the market inside and out. He can find you the home you want. He can get your home sold. He knows how to do it. That's why his website's called BoKnowsHouses.com. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Go there, check it out, take a look around. Or you can just call or text Bo direct any time of day on his line, which the number is, as I look for it in my notes. Boy, I got way too many notes here. 865-742-1035. 742-1035 for Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group doing real estate the right way. Quick timeout.
The shocking conclusion of the drive on the way. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-546-8200, our number to get on the show, 546-8200. We'll be back to wrap up the turkey drop from Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.
You can't stop the drive. You can only hope to contain it.
All right, welcome back to the drive. Russ is once again delivering turkeys here up front. Looks pretty good doing it. Just talking to a longtime listener, Relic. So we're going to wind it down here today. It's been another smashing success, the 9th annual turkey drop. It's been incredible.
Can't wait for year 10. I mean, what will year 10 of the turkey drop hold in store?
I feel like we're going to have to at some point rent a helicopter and actually drop them to people.
Feel like, well, I mean, it is OEB law. They do know a thing or two about liability, which I'm sure would be the main issue with a stunt like that. But
what if you dropped one to me? Do you think I could catch one?
Yeah, with your face. I mean, it'd be the last thing you ever catch. But big thanks to Smoky Mountain Brewery for hosting this. Big thanks to OEB Law for hooking up the turkeys. We're going to take the rest of these to the Love Kitchen here as soon as we're done here. And, yeah, excellent showing by the Fan Run faithful here this afternoon.
I like seeing all our – we get to see all our friends. Everybody comes out. Phil, T-Carp, Marcus, Relic.
Yeah, I got to meet some new listeners and everything.
Yeah,
so
very great Bill Minot popped in.
Yeah,
it's been a great afternoon.
Very, very cool. All right, last note here on the show. Do we have any calls? Do we have anybody we got to get to?
I don't think so.
I think we are good. Okay. The Jeopardy showdown.
Oh, I saw that.
You see this?
Yeah, it's that weird guy Ken, and then some guy I've never heard of.
That guy, Brad Rutter, I believe, he beat Ken Jennings. And the last time they had a head-to-head.
Let me tell you, Brad Rutter.
Did you know what the final Jeopardy?
Ken Jennings isn't our guy.
I watched this video. It was the final Jeopardy. It was Secretary of State. You know a lot about Secretary of State, United States Secretary of State?
I know a few.
Who's our current Secretary of State?
Mike Pompeo.
Wow. Wow, look at the big brain on Bear.
You got any more questions for the professor?
It was the two secretaries of state. They served 160 years apart, were the only two secretaries of state never to marry.
They served 160 years apart. I'm going to go with Kissinger.
That was like the only one I know, the only historical one I think anybody knows. Wrong.
Madeline, whatever her name was, served under Clinton.
Well, that wouldn't have been 160 years apart. Now you're really just trying to.
Well, no, I was going to go back into the 1800s for the other one.
Yeah. Who do you know was Secretary of State in the 1800s?
William Seward was, wasn't he, for Lincoln? Or was he Secretary of War?
I don't know.
What's the answer?
It was James Buchanan.
Buchanan was Secretary of State?
And, Condi Rice.
She's single?
Yeah, you want her number?
Nah.
I don't think you're her type.
No, she went to Stanford.
That's not where I was going with
She's a Pac-12 kind of gal. I'm an SEC only. I don't do that house divided crap.
Mm-hmm.
Tried it once, almost ruined my life.
That's going to do it for us, folks. A big thanks to everybody who came out to see us here this afternoon at Smoky Mountain Brewery in Turkey Creek. If you're looking for a place to get out to watch the game, we'll have the Vols and Alabama State rolling here in just an hour or so. And, of course, this is a great place to get out and watch Tennessee and Missouri, Tennessee basketball coming up here later in the year. Great place to watch the Memphis game, as it looks like we'll probably be taking on a James Wiseman-less Memphis Tiger basketball team.
They ain't shortening that suspension, are they?
I don't think so. They've got other players on that team, though, man. They got the two freshman guards from last year.
Yeah, I got that. But they are – it's going to be a tough task for us to deal with him.
We can match up with the guards. We can match up at some of the other positions. We didn't have anybody – and nobody really has anybody for James Wiseman, I don't think, from a purely physical matchup standpoint. But
I think the last time we had anybody here that could match up with somebody like that would be – Jaron and Jarnell.
I mean, we're probably going to run into some of those dudes too at some point.
We will in the tournament.
Well, I mean, Washington had that guy Isaiah Stewart. He goes 6'10", 250, and
like we need one of those guys.
He got his, but
there's one I know.
We handled ourselves pretty well. I thought Fulkerson acquitted for himself well in that matchup. So I don't know enough about what Kentucky's got, Nick Richards and EJ Montgomery back. I don't know enough about what the rest of the league has going on, but I think that it'll be interesting to see because the perception is going to be that is our Achilles heel is inside post presence. So interesting stuff. Interesting show, man. Bear, thanks for all your help.
Oh,
again,
no problem.
OEB Law, check it, wreckintoacheck.com, wreckintoacheck.com. We appreciate them sponsoring the 9th annual Turkey Drop here and appreciate Jake's hard work back in the Truly Hard Seltzer studios. So no overtime tonight. We've got Fox Sports national programming headed your way right now. We'll do it again tomorrow from 3 to 6 right here on The Drive.